read the entire chapter 5 in one reading, all 14 verses, and we'll just get started right there. So if you all would like to stand as we read the Holy Word of God. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and loose its 7 seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the 4 living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Amen. Let us say amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you, and I thank you that you have shared this with us. Lord, when we see there is so much degradation, there are so many problems, and there's no one on earth who can really save us, sometimes it makes us sad. But help us to remember there is one. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the Savior, and you're the only Savior. I'm not the Savior. We can't look for another Savior. Nobody in this room is a Savior. You're the Savior. You reign, and you reign forevermore. Lord, thank you for reminding us of that, that you are worthy to open the scroll. When that time comes, you will do it. Nobody's going to stop you. Nobody else can do it. Only you can do it. You are the Savior. Thank you for revealing it to us. Lord, there's still so many that don't know it, so I pray that you'd be revealing it to them even today. Lord, opening the eyes of the blind, convincing the hearts of those who doubt. Lord, remove their doubt and replace. replace it with faith. Lord, help us to have true saving faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Man, what an amazing thing that God shares with us. This vision from heaven is so, it just astounds me. It blows me away. He wouldn't have to, but he chooses to because he wants his people to know. He wants us to have hope. So what could be on the scroll? It's an interesting scroll. It's in the right hand of whom, him who sat on the throne. If we go back just into the chapter 4, you know, we spent 2 weeks in chapter 4 kind of dividing that into two sections, and we found out that he is absolutely holy, holy, holy. He's the Lord God Almighty back in chapter 4, reminding us of that, who was and is to come. And at verse 11 of chapter 4, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things." He is Creator God. And that's what we focused on last week. He is Creator God. Who created the heavens and the earth? God did. So who owns it? God does. Who acts like he owns it? Satan does. Satan acts like he's got this thing. Satan acts like he's the ultimate authority around here. It is true that God has allowed him some limited authority. In fact, Jesus even referred to him as the prince of the earth. A prince isn't a king, by the way. But he does have limited authority. He is one that God created, and whenever he got disqualified in heaven, God did cast him down to the earth, and he gave him some very, very limited authority. He has to report back to God. You read the book of Job, you find that out. He couldn't do anything to Job without first asking. It scares us that God said, yeah, okay, you can't afflict him. So that scares us, but hey, you better be more scared at the thought that God might not have been able to do anything, that somehow or another Satan could trump God's decision. That would be scarier. But, you know, I want you to know that nothing happens on planet Earth that doesn't go past God's notice. He either has ordained it or he allows it. And even when he's just allowing it, it's for an ordained purpose further down the road. God is in authority and control. Satan acts like he is. He acts like he owns the whole deal. So all of this is being said because I really think that what's on that scroll and the way that scroll is described, it sounds very much like a deed. Almost like a deed that's sealed up in the last will and testament. Do y'all remember that Jesus had expressed to us that we become sons and daughters? And in Romans, it talks about a slave doesn't get the inheritance, but a son and a daughter does. That we have an inheritance. And I believe that this unsealing of this scroll is God coming back and saying, it's time. I'm taking back what you have acted like you own. I am exerting my full authority at this point, and it's going to get settled. Why has it not happened yet? It's not been because God hasn't had the authority. He could do it at any time. But you know what? If he would have done it 26 years ago, I would have missed out because I still wasn't saved. So praise God, he's been patient, amen? Because just in the last 25 years, this man came to Christ and has his name written in heaven now. How about you? I don't know. You know why he's extending this period of time? It's not because he's somehow powerless. It's because he's patient. God is so patient. You know that nonsense that went on that kicked off the Olympics that we heard about? I didn't watch it, but I heard about it. You know why God didn't just strike down from heaven and stop it? Because he's patient. He's going to give even them a chance to repent. Amen? Praise God, he didn't strike me down before I had come to him. He's merciful. But I can tell you one thing, he is not. He is not powerless. And you know, when the proper time comes, this scroll is going to be brought out. And there, I believe that this is like the title deed to earth, and it's going to be opened up, and these seven seals are going to come off. God is going to start actually unleashing his wrath. on earth, and it's going to set everything straight. If I didn't believe that, I would become very despairing at times. Because the things that we see happening on earth are not very just. And I want you to take note that these seals can only be broken by the right qualified person. So whenever there's a will, have you ever been anywhere where there was an official reading of a last will and testament of someone? It's actually written into the will who is the official who is supposed to carry that out. And so in this, not just anybody in heaven can open the scroll. It's been foreordained. It has to be the one that's worthy. It has to be the one that's worthy. And that's what the angel proclaimed in a loud voice. Who's worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And you know what? All over heaven, all over the earth, and even under the earth, there wasn't anybody else who could step up and say, I can do it. And to us who are still, you know, kind of stuck here in this earthly thing, that is a sad state of affairs, isn't it? How many millions of people live on planet Earth right now? Does anybody know? Actually into the billions, right? Around 8.5 billion, they estimate. I mean, some places don't really do a really good census, so we're not really sure how many people are living in some areas of the world. But we estimate probably around getting somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 9 billion people. Billion. The United States is a rather lower populated country. I mean, we got about 360-something million people in our country, as big as we are. I want you to think about India. It's a lot smaller than us. You know how many people live in India? 1,300,000,000 people in India alone. It's like the United States plus a billion in that smaller country. We start to kind of begin to fathom, you know, there's a lot of people in the world, okay? Some would go to another extreme with this and go, oh, they're going to destroy the earth. No, people are the precious thing that God made. We're actually producers, and that's something that can help the earth is the people. But in a spiritual nature, do you know out of all almost 9 billion people, there's nobody on planet Earth that can save anybody else spiritually? There's nobody on planet Earth, even right now, out of 9 billion people that would be worthy to open the scroll. All right, now take that 9 billion, think about how many years it's been since God created the heavens and the earth. And even in that vast amount of time, there's not been one person out of all the people that were naturally born that would be worthy to open that scroll. Do you know why? Because we're all sinners. Every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It would take one who is perfect to do that. And there's only been one person to live in a human body that's been perfect, and it's Jesus himself. Isn't it interesting that we see that the one who is worthy is being introduced here in Revelation 5, 5 through 6. And the elder, one of the elders is saying, hey, I can almost imagine maybe in this scene, John's over here weeping because he is just brokenhearted that out of the billions of people, maybe trillions of people that have ever lived, there's nobody worthy to open the scroll in this vision. And I can imagine this elder, maybe that was sitting, you know, there's 24 of them, maybe there's one kind of sitting toward the end, right where he was at. I don't know. I'm trying to imagine, picture it. And he goes, psst, hey, don't cry. It's okay. There is one. Maybe it wasn't quite like that. I don't know. But I'm just imagining that it was out of comfort. He was cluing him in. Did you ever go to a new place and you don't really know how things work? And you know, there's a person that's there that really wants to be kind, and they kind of clue you in. They kind of clue you in on what's going on. Well, that's what this elder's doing. And he's saying, don't weep, behold. And I love the introduction that he gives of Jesus here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Boy, what's a lion represent to you? Strength, power, nobility, right? The way that a lion stands, you know, they're called the king of the jungle, right? They fear nothing. in that jungle. They can handle it all. Their roar is so terrifying that their prey is paralyzed by their roar. We think of power. Well, that is who Jesus is. But how does he actually appear? A lamb. A lamb who had been slain. Isn't that just the most amazing thing? Should that tell us something about what is the strongest, powerful force? It's not forcefully changing everything. It's lovingly submitting to the will of God. That's what Jesus did. Ever, over and over and over and over again, whenever he spoke while walking on the earth, he said, I've not come to do my own will. I've come to do the will of my Father. I've come to do the will of my Father. I've come to do the will of my Father. And when he was hanging there on the cross, guys, and he was being killed, his life was ebbing away. It looked like failure. It looked like defeat. But I'm going to tell you, that submission to his Father, that submission to love, no matter what, was the most powerful thing that ever happened on planet Earth. Destroyed the power of sin, destroyed the power of death, destroyed the power of the enemy, and to all who trust and believe in him in that righteous act, the perfect Lamb of God was willing to willingly give his life. That was not weakness. It was meekness. It was strength under control. And so whenever there's a search for the one who's worthy to open the scroll, it's that Lamb who comes forward. He's the one who has defeated the power of the enemy to take on that authoritative position. It says, I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Think about that number seven. What does that seven represent? Perfection, completeness. And so, you know, seven horns, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Lambs don't have horns, and if they did, they wouldn't necessarily have seven, so it sounds strange to us, but it represents something. It represents perfect power. You see, even as a lamb, he's able to defeat Satan completely because he has perfect power. Well, whenever he comes back, he's coming back like that lion, though. Can you imagine the power that he's going to display then? Be with him now so that you're with him then, because you sure don't want to try to stand against him. He has perfect power, and he has that seven eyes. That's that omniscience. You know, the Holy Spirit is here. Not only is the Holy Spirit living in the believer, but he is everywhere. He's omnipresent, and he's also omniscient. He can see it all. Don't ever try to hide anything from God. If you're living in sin, trying to live a double life right now, you need to come clean. Don't try to act like that somehow or another you're going to fool God, because it isn't going to happen. He already knows. Fess it up. You don't have to tell him because he don't know. You need to tell him so that you will take responsibility for it and begin your process of being restored. It really is important, guys, that we understand this. God knows it all. He sees it all. We have seen depictions of the creatures that are before him with the eyes all over him, representing the omniscience and the omnipresence of God. He sees it all. This lamb comes forward. He has perfect vision into everything. You see, Jesus' authority makes him worthy of worship. And whenever we see this thing going down in heaven, and we see that now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, a golden bowls full of incense. do you understand that the Bible's going to get clue us in on what these what this incense has represented all along, what these golden bowls that are before the throne have to do with? It says, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayer of every saint from all time that has been prayed in the name of the Lord for his righteousness and for his sake to be displayed is being brought out as an offering to the one, the Lamb who was slain, right here. We get to see it happening even before it happens. Boy, what an incredible sight this is. You keep praying. You keep praying God's righteousness come forth. You keep praying for people to be saved. You keep praying and worshiping God in your prayers because not one of them gets lost. I love that. That in the end, when it's time to really let Jesus take his rightful place in heaven, to come forward and start opening these scrolls and opening up the end of this whole story to bring forth the new, he gets worshiped by the prayers of the saints from the beginning to the end. How beautiful is that? He deserves it. He's worthy. You know what? He redeemed us with a purpose. If you're his, you've been redeemed. You've been bought back from slavery to never be sold back into it again. And so know that he has a plan for you. Listen to this new song that they sing to him. You are worthy to take the scroll. Let's say it together. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That is you as well that he is speaking of. If you are a child of God, he has redeemed us and made us kings and priests to our God. You see, you as a believer take on the authority of God, of Jesus. You know, when you get stopped by a police officer, he has authority to give you a ticket if you're doing wrong. He has authority to even arrest you, not because of who he is, but because of who he's under. Do you ever notice they wear a badge? What is the badge? It's a symbol. It's a representative of the authority which they serve that actually is the authority that the arrest is made in the name of. You know, it isn't because you're great that you have this authority, so don't ever start thinking that. It's because he's great. Jesus is great. And it needs to be our aim and goal and purpose to live a life that makes him look like he is to people who don't have a clue. What kind of attributes do you see in Christ that you're thankful for? Can you name off a few? Righteous, perfect, patient, merciful, loving. Keep going. Holy. He does have the authority to be wrathful. We don't. Wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God, but God can. He has that authority. So how do we live so that we can example those? We have to be patient, aren't we? You have to love. The Bible clearly kind of outlines that in some of the other books about how the church is supposed to be. We need to leave wrath up to God because he's the only one that has that, right? But we need to example those attributes that we see in him because we are and have been made kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. I think that's future, but I also think there's purpose for us here now too. His power is still made great through our weakness. Just like he told Paul. You see, in this scene, everything in heaven is worshiping. I just realized I misspelled worshiping, so forgive me of that. Everything in heaven is worshiping. That's the one thing we do want to get from that. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, and the number of them was, well, let's just say, he couldn't count. 10,000s times 10,000 and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Let's say that together. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Praise God. He is the one who is worthy. Wow. Everything, everywhere is giving him the glory due his name as we look at this vision of heaven. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Wow. This is the fulfillment of what Paul said in the future fulfillment that has not yet fully come to pass, but that God spoke about through Paul in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You notice it says every. Some would try to preach that and turn that into universalism. Some would say, you know what, that just shows that everybody on planet Earth is going to go to heaven. That isn't what it's saying. It's saying that whether you're headed to heaven or you're headed to hell, you're going to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the question is, do you want to do it now? Because if you want to do it now and you really want to give your life to him, you are heaven bound. You are the one that God, Jesus himself said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. And Thomas said, we don't know the way. How can we know how to get there? And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, not one of the truths. He's the only one. And some would say that what kind of a God would only make one way? I'm going to say, a patient, loving one, because he gave his own son. How many of us would be willing to give one of our children to save others? It's a hard call. God was willing to do it. Most precious thing to him. Never been separated from him at all, ever. In all of eternity before. And he was willing to send him to earth and let him be abused. Let him be eventually taken to the cross. Let him be unappreciated. Let him be insulted at and just reviled at. Let him, allowed him to take on all the abuse of the world, right down to death. Because he knew that through that, he would save us. It's a pretty amazing God. He made the way. And I can just tell you, Jesus will be worshiped. And I pray for every one of us, he'll be worshiped now. I pray for our neighbors, he'll be worshiped now. Because this is telling me that whether they're on their way to heaven or on their way to hell, they will acknowledge him. So let's stop and pray. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that as we look at these scriptures in conjunction with these verses from Philippians, we begin to get a picture. Whenever it says everything in heaven, everything on earth, and everything under the earth, that under the earth, I think, is important for us to understand. It's speaking of people that are dead. Even if they died without believing in you, when they see you, they are going to confess you. We see that even the demons and the Gerizim demoniac confessed you as Lord, not to their salvation. It's an acknowledgement of your power, your rightful authority. It was an acknowledgement of your position. You're the only true living God, and even the demons know that. They just don't submit to it. So, Lord, help us to be in a worshipful spirit towards you always. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Help our life to be a worship of you. And then it will only be natural that when we pass on from this life, we will continue to worship you. Lord, I pray for others who don't have a clue that you'll open their eyes to salvation. Maybe some in this room today. Help them not to wait until it's too late. May we worship you today. Be our Lord. Be our King. In Jesus' name, amen.